Wow. One of my titles is pastor, but I'm also, another unofficial title is treasure hunter. I do love searching for treasure. Jesus loves showing me treasure. I'm going to get rid of that and just get settled here. How many are so thankful for the treasures that God has in his word? And I love it in our relationship. He hides them there. What is it? The glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to seek it out, right? And as royal sons and daughters, he wants us to seek out the treasures that he's placed in the word and within us. Amen. I just want us to I just want to pray for everyone. I just felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to pray. So just close your eyes throughout the room. Jesus, we thank you that your peace, that you are the Prince of Peace. And we have felt your peace today. That you're a royal king and you rule in peace. And we thank you that you rule from heavenly places. You're far above all the issues and the wars and the rumors of wars and who's going to get elected and tornadoes and hurricanes. You're above it all. State of the economy, you are in heavenly places. You are enthroned above. You're the lion. You're the lamb. And I know you believe everything's going to work out. So, King Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we just by faith step into heavenly places. Your word says we're already seated there, but we just want to obey Colossians 3:2, setting our mind on the things above, where Christ, you're seated and we're seated with you. So right now, by faith, like a little child, if a child can imagine imaginary characters, we can certainly step into heavenly places with you. So we just shift our hearts and our minds to be with you where you are, where you say we are. So, royal King Jesus, speak to us. Bring your revelation. Felt that prayer that Paul prayed, that out of your glorious riches, Father, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know the glorious inheritance that is in us, in the saints. So God, I just thank you that you're already beginning to pierce hearts with revelation of who you are, revelation of who they are, and revelation of your ways. God, just as much as I have felt the anointing not only in me, but upon me, everyone here needs the anointing to receive what you have to say. So right now, I thank you, Holy Spirit, as been said many times this morning. If there's anyone else who has not yet felt your spirit fall upon them, I just pray, Holy Spirit, begin to rest on each one right now. Right now, Holy Spirit, as we sang, rest on us. God, that's not just words. We desire, we long for your presence, not just in us, but upon us, to enwrap us, to endue us. So right now, I just thank you for your spirit falling on every body, every soul, every heart right now in Jesus' name. And right now, we thank you that your peace is guarding each one here from any ounce of chaos, anxiety, or fear. That your peace is surpassing every heart and mind's understanding of their circumstances. And I pray for your peace to settle so strong so that each one of your people here can receive what you want to release. We thank you, Prince of Peace. We thank you for the promise in Isaiah 26:3 that you will keep in perfect peace him or her whose mind is fixed upon you because he or she trusts in you. So we just say, and I just want you to say in your heart, you don't have to say it out loud, say, Jesus, we trust you. Jesus, we trust you. We trust you, and we want to be right here, right now, with you. Not hearing the words of a pastor or a man, but God, I thank you that you are going to empower me to share your words, and that each one is here to hear your voice, your thoughts, your love, your opinion on the matter. So Jesus, I already thank you in advance for your faithfulness from now until the close of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you feel his presence strong? I just felt like this was kind of a different service. Not like it was different characters, different people up here, different instruments, but I have just felt his peace so strong, and we got a word about peace in the prayer room beforehand. So I'm okay if you're not screaming and hollering and yelling. I am secure. I'm preaching before God. But you can just enjoy him throughout this. I just want to give you that permission that if you fall out in the spirit and I see you nod off in his arms, I think it's been a success. And I just want to speak out. I've been seeing, now I'm wearing denim. I've been seeing blue this morning, both physically, it's been highlighted to me, and in the spirit. And we sang a lot about royalty. So blue speaks of royalty. I just feel like the royal King Jesus wants to reveal himself. And blue also speaks of revelation. And I just believe like he has such a setup for your hearts for deep revelation into who he is, who you are, and his truth and his ways. Is anyone else? Who wants that? Come on. And I just want to declare, who was here for Dan Moeller last weekend? Okay? Obviously, God has prepared all of you for today, but I feel like maybe there's a unique setup for those that were there last weekend, that the soil is ready for the word that God wants to release today. So let his word pierce your heart today. Amen? Okay, well, I'm just going to get my notes out here, make sure we're good to go. Actually, I'm not going to need this right away, right here. Can I open up with a testimony from my life? Okay, I want to take you back to March 12th, 2011. So go back to March 12th, 2011. I can't remember who was the president or what was going on then in America, but there was a lot going on in my life. That night, March 12th, 2011, it was a Saturday night, I was standing before 25 volunteers, and I was at Multnomah. That's where I was a fundraiser. That's Tessa and I's alma mater. Tessa, would you wave your hand? That's my beautiful wife, Tessa, of 20 years. 20 years. She's not just been a good wife, but a loyal friend. We've always been friends. We were friends before we were romantically involved. But this was our annual fundraising banquet, and I had recruited these 25 volunteers to serve in different capacities. And I had been planning for this 9 months, 10 months in advance. And I was just about to pray for all these 25 guests because or 25 volunteers, because we're about to have 400 people show up. So on a pretty busy morning here, just to give perspective, we have 400 people, and I was the one in charge of all the details, from the food, to the speakers, to the testimonies, to all the money that was raised that night. I had spent 9 or 10 months planning for this event. So it was a big, big day. But that particular night, I had so much extra passion and Holy Ghost fire. You see, just 2 days before, I met a man, and for those that know my story, you've heard this before, who shared with me that I had a Heavenly Father who loved me, and that I was his son in whom he was well pleased. And he embraced me in the Multnomah cafeteria, and it was like a time bomb of love was about to go off in my heart. It was like a time bomb of love. And so this is 2 days after that encounter, Saturday night, I'm before all these volunteers. And I began to pray. I said, God, touch all these volunteers with your love. I was just so passionate for his love. I'm like, fill every last guest that comes. And then the last words I said, I'll never forget. I said, my faith was just so high. You know, his love makes you believe all things. Some of us are chasing faith, but if you have love, you'll believe all things. You don't need to chase faith. Anyway, that's a freebie just dropped in right there. So this, I believe faith was coming upon me because I was filled with so much love. And I said, not only our guests, not only our students speaking, not only these volunteers, but it was the Embassy Suites in Portland area, very big, nice hotel. And I said, every last room fill with your love. Every last hotel room. They don't even know we're having this Christian banquet, but I don't care. And I looked up and I remember, because there's 6-7 stories of rooms, and I said, every last room be filled. God loves to do setups, and I didn't realize what he was setting up when I said that. After the banquet, it's probably 10 or 11 o'clock. I was finalizing all the details with the hotel staff, so I was first there, first to leave. If it's your event, that's always a good policy, right? Be the first there, be the last to leave. And I was talking with the hotel staff, and I said, hey, did my 3 colleagues and their spouses, did they get the rooms that we promised for them as part of our rental deal? They, 3 of our staff and their spouses could spend the night in a really nice hotel room. And they said, yeah, but there's a 4th room. And I'm a pretty detailed number guy. I'm like, it was 3 rooms. I don't know what you're talking about. She's like, no, 4th room for Multnomah Bible College. No one has checked in yet to that. And so I said, hold on one moment. And I called Tessa, my wife, and I just said, hey, we have a hotel room. And at the time, we had folks at our house who could watch Parker and Riley. Parker was 4 and Riley was 3, but we had other people we were living with who could watch them. I said, Tessa, come on down to the hotel. And she's like, it's late. I don't really want to come down. That's awesome that you have a room. You've worked so hard all year. Don't drive home. It's like a 20-minute drive, half an hour drive. She's like, you just stay there. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy a really nice hotel room. And I'm like, I am tired. Thank you, babe. Okay. So after enjoying some dinner, because I was starving, I ended up, when you're doing an event, you don't even eat. So I was hungry. I didn't even eat the chicken, or maybe I had a couple slices because I'm watching. I'm saying hi to folks. If you know me, I love to greet. And I was the one greeting all 400 guests. I'm like, welcome. Thank you so much for coming out. And so I didn't get to eat. So I had a good meal. And then I made my way around midnight that night to my room, room 313. I will never forget that room. And I didn't sleep that night because my Father God began to speak to me in my spirit. And he began to reveal to me my calling and destiny. He began to tell me, you're going to be a spiritual leader in the church. And he began to reveal to me what the heart of leadership looked like. And I had my Bible open, and he was giving me all these amazing revelations, and I was writing them down. I remember I had this yellow notepad for the banquet, and I'm writing, and then I take the sticky note, put it on the desk in the hotel, and then I'm writing again. And I'm like, I'm like, Father, this is incredible. He just spoke to me of who I was as a son that he loved. And that love that the man shared 2 days before finally erupted. The bomb went off. And for 45 minutes, I wept as Father God filled me from the inside out with his love. And I've never been the same. I've never been the same. 7 or 8 a.m. that morning, as I was leaving the hotel, I knew I was changed. And it was like it was a whole new world. Anyone have a God encounter when you come out, you're like, a whole new world. Don't you dare close your eyes. Hold your breath, it gets better. I did choir and drama, so I will harness that. But a whole new world. His love, when it hits your spirit and truth hits your spirit, which is reality, it's like, there's colors. People are amazing. I want to hug people. Is that my wife? I came home and I remember, I don't know if that was the day, but I don't know if I touched your hair. And it was like, I had a whole new wife. I'm like, Father God loves you. You're amazing. And she's like, what are you doing? I want to go back to bed. I think that's exactly how you reacted. She had not yet had Father's love encounter her heart, but it was a setup. A year later, boom, it hit her. But that night was so impactful, I didn't return one of my hotel cards. And I know, don't steal, guys. But like the memorial stones when they crossed the Jordan River, I've looked at this over the years, and it says, remember room 313, and I got in the room March 13th, 2011, midnight. And it says, Matt is dead, Matthew is alive. For the few months leading up to that moment, that encounter, I didn't even know why, but I was 26, 27 at the time, and I just all of a sudden started telling people in my church, don't call me Matt, call me Matthew. Don't call me Matt, don't call me Matthew. And from that day on, anyone asks me, I go by Matthew, because Matt meant that broken old man. Matthew is the loved son who's got a purpose and destiny. Come on. You know, he didn't just give new names in the Bible. Sometimes he might give you a new name. Cephas, I say you're Peter. Abram, I say you're Abraham. Saul became Paul, right? And he gave me a new name. So everything had changed. My outlook on life was different because the truth of the gospel came home to my spirit. Amen? Who's thankful for the truth of the gospel? We will know the what? What will set us free? The truth sets us free. The truth sets us free. And that truth of who Father said I was and that I was a son that was released by Chris on that Thursday, it finally erupted that night in that hotel room and something broke within me and I was transformed, never to be the same. Fast forward to last weekend, this very last weekend, who here was deeply touched and challenged by the preaching of Dan Moeller? Come on. Yeah, we can give a clap to that. Man, I the other pastors know this because we spent lunch with him and I was at all the sessions. Actually, I was told, if you want to take the Saturday off, you don't need to be there. And I'm like, after Friday night, I'm there. And you knew I was going to come. Like, without even talking, you're like, I knew you'd probably make it. Man, I couldn't get enough of it. But, you know, most of the weekend, while I was cheering and excited, I don't know about you, but I wept throughout the weekend. I felt such a beautiful portrayal of the gospel and who Jesus is, that this man preached and lives. Anyone else just like challenged, like convicted, challenged, their heart was softened? I felt like I was a puddle of, like anything would set me off and I start crying. And, you know, Papa God opened me up to this full gospel 13 years ago in that hotel room. And for 13 years, I've known what it means to be a son, lover, daughter. But that weekend, I felt like whatever was dead in me reawakened. And I saw a vision of what's possible in God. Anyone else see that? Was that stirred? It was stirred in me. What it can look like when the old man is finally put to death and we allow the new man to rise up and we manifest love in everything we do. He said that so many times, that we're in a car accident, manifest love. Your wife doesn't want to walk with Jesus, manifest love. I mean, he was saying it all weekend. And he said, the new man, that's what the new man does. That's what the new creation does. And there was no compromise in him. And we could feel it. I felt like I was pulled out of complacency by a true proclaiming and portrayal of what an abundant life can look like in Christ. And if your heart's cry is like mine, you're asking, as I was, Father, what do I need to do to change? I'm asking that question, maybe some of you are. Now, it's something I ask from time to time, but it had a deeper urgency last weekend, last Friday. Or last Sunday after the weekend was done, I was like, Father, what do I need to do to change? What do I need to do differently? Show me. That was my heart's cry. So I took time listening to the Father starting last Sunday. It's funny because last Sunday it was, as I began to listen, he began to lead me to Ephesians 4. We're about to go there in a little bit. And he started giving me all this revelation. And I knew right away, isn't it fun when you just know things? You're going to preach this and preach this really soon, probably next Sunday. The next night, Pastor calls me while I'm at Healing Rooms and says, "You ready to preach this Sunday?" "Yes, sir." Isn't that good how God prepares us for assignments? That's an encouragement for someone here. Like, be watching. God's not random. He may have an assignment for you in 4 hours, and right now he's preparing you to share Jesus with that person in 4 hours. He's doing it right now. That's why we need to pay attention and have our eyes and our ears open, because you might need what someone says now, and you're going to release the same word later to someone else that person who released it doesn't even know, but this other person's going to get blessed. Does that make sense? So I knew, it was just such a confirming thing. So he led me right away that last Sunday. I felt like the Holy Spirit led me to Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. So you guys can go there in your Bibles, Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. I'm using the New King James Version. Okay. So, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen? Man, we can just close in prayer right there. I mean, his word just speaks, right? Doesn't that pierce your heart? So before we dive into this passage, which is essentially almost in the middle of the book, it's right in the meat, it's right in the heart of it, right? I want to give a little quick overview of Ephesians, just so we have some context. By the way, if you have not studied the book of Ephesians and you want to get washed in the gospel and see how amazing Jesus is, how amazing you are, it's 6 chapters. It'll take you 15, 20 minutes. Just sit down and read Ephesians in one sitting. It's not a hard book to read. And it's like you get a word version of what Dan released last week. He's like, man, he released the gospel. I'm going to go read Ephesians, okay? So chapters 1 through 3 talk about how we're seated in heavenly places. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. We're holy and blameless in his sight. We were once dead in our sins, but he's raised us up. And in chapter 2 says we're now seated. Can you believe this? You guys are seated with him in heavenly places. I'm going to say it again. Right now, whether you feel it, whether you think it, whether you even believe it, if you are his child, you're born again, you're seated with him in heavenly places. That's a pretty good position to be. We're all vying for position and, you know, workplace and all these things. And it's like, we're already at the highest seat in the universe. Right? So chapters 1 through 3, seated. Chapters 4 and 5 are you're seated in light of that identity, walk it out, okay? Walk it out. How many know we don't just have an identity, we need to walk it out? God wants it demonstrated. So chapter 4, verse 1 says, in light of all this, I'm paraphrasing, walk worthy of the calling you've received. Walk it out. Seated, chapters 1 through 3, gospel, identity in Christ. You guys are amazing. You're holy. You're blameless. Chapter 4, walk it out. Chapter 5, walk it out. Chapter 6, you don't just need to walk out this identity. Remember the armor of God? Now stand in this identity so you can stand against all the powers of darkness, powers and principalities. Do you see the flow? You don't dare stand till you know you're seated. But if you're seated and not walking it out, the enemy will annihilate you. Does that make sense? That's the whole book of Ephesians. So it's like, man, if someone asks you tomorrow, what's the book of Ephesians? Sit, walk, stand. Done. Sit, walk, stand. Whole book right there. I like that. Isn't that helpful? You can anchor everything on those three words. I believe that was Watchman Nee. I'm not sure who said that, so I want to give credit where credit is due. But sit, and that's our whole Christian walk. Every day I need to be reminded where I'm seated. That's a place of resting and receiving. I just encourage you, like, Pastor Matthew, how do you start off your day? I don't start off with, some days when I'm in the flesh, but when I'm not in the flesh and I, old man is subject, I'm not running to walking or warfare. The first thing I do is thank you, Father, for this day. This is just this morning, Drew quoted it. One of my prayers every day almost is, this is the day you have made and I rejoice and I'm glad in it. And it's like, that renews my heart. That's the word of God. What a great place to start, right? So you start seated. Don't jump to the walking and the warfare. Seated. Then we walk it out. Lord, what do you have for me today? You know, lead me. Holy Spirit, fill me so I can testify to you and love my wife, love my kids, and love here as a pastor. And then give me strength with my identity to stand against the principalities and powers. Amen? That's your whole walk. You sit, you walk, you stand. That's your whole walk right there, your whole life in Christ. Okay, so we're in the walk section. Okay, was that context helpful to know where we're at? Okay, now let's go to the meat, the heart of the walk section. And verse 20, chapter 4, it says, but you have not so learned Christ. Let's stop right there. The verses prior say, you're not like the Gentiles. What's a Gentile? Does anyone know what a Gentile is? You guys can speak up. What's a Gentile? Not a Jew, but also what can it refer to as well? A dog? Yeah. Someone in the implication here is not just not a Jew, but someone who's outside of Christ. They're not saved. They're not in Christ. Okay? And those that are in Christ should look and walk totally different than those that are not in Christ. Amen? Light and dark, right? Okay. So the Gentiles in verses 17 through 19, and you don't need to pull it up, but if you have your Bibles, you can just glance at it right now. The context is you haven't learned Christ in this way. The Gentiles are, they live in the futility of their mind. That's the first description, the futility of their mind. You see, when the fall happened, it says their eyes were opened. And I believe the mind of man, the mind of flesh took over. The mind of the flesh, it says in Romans 8, is hostile to God. The mind of the flesh is hostile to God. It cannot submit to God. And all of its ways end in death. The mindset of the flesh. And he's saying that's how the Gentiles are. And they're darkened in their understanding. And so many of the terms he used there, he talks about ignorance. There's an ignorance in them, right? Their whole rational thinking is ultimately off because they're disconnected from God. As sane as you try to be, I believe if you're not saved, ultimately your thinking goes towards insanity. Now, I don't want you to go around and calling people who aren't saved, you're insane. Let's be nice here. They're just a Christian and in the making, right? They're just a believer in the making. But think of those times when you didn't know Jesus, or even when you knew Jesus and you fell away, your thinking was all off, right? Your mindset was all off. Okay. So back to verse 20, you did not come to know Christ in this way. Now he's saying, Ephesian believers, you're not like that. If indeed you have heard him, this is verse 21, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, the truth. Say it again, the truth. Third time's the charm. The truth. You're not like the Gentiles. They're darkened in their understanding. Their conduct's evil. Why? They're ignorant. They're cut off from God. Their whole perception's wrong. You have not come to learn Christ that way. You've heard of him. And the Ephesus believers didn't, to my knowledge, historically, didn't necessarily walk with him because this is after, like, Jesus. But by the Spirit, they heard of Jesus. Through the proclamation that Paul brought, they heard Jesus. And that's why today, I encourage you, don't hear me, hear Jesus, because he's speaking today. Amen? But what did you discover in Jesus? The truth. The truth. This is what makes you different. You see, truth is a little tricky to define, but I'm gonna try to give the revelation of what biblical truth is, especially New Testament definition of truth. Remember, Jesus said, you will know the and the truth will set you free. And then four verses later says, those whom the Son sets free are free indeed. How? By the truth Jesus brings. Jesus didn't show up and go, I'm amazing, I'm full of love and all that. We wouldn't be changed if he didn't proclaim and release the truth. And none of you would be changed if someone didn't step in and speak the truth over you. Or if you didn't hear the truth of the gospel. Okay, truth is reality as God speaks it, knows it, and as God believes it. Let me say that again. Truth is reality as God speaks it, knows it, and God believes it. How many of you are thankful that God believes and knows things about you that you still don't believe yourself, but you're going to catch up with him, hopefully? When you were still a sinner, he knew, that's one I died for. That's one that's holy and blameless in my sight since the creation of the world. See, he loves from what he knows. Jeremiah 1:5, before you formed me in my mother's womb, you knew me. Pastor Ryan and Christy have a limited understanding of this boy, but Father already fully knows this boy. Father knows the destiny and calling. Father sees this boy before he prays a sinner's prayer as holy and blameless in his sight. And Father's going to treat him every day of his life according to that truth. Amen? So the truth is liberating, guys. We need truth. Last weekend, we got a lot of good truth. Amen? The gospel of truth, stories of truth, testimonies of truth. In that hotel room, and when Chris shared Father's love, truth hit me. The truth that's in Jesus, and the truth set me free. The truth is the implication of Christ's death and resurrection on your behalf. The truth is that you have, who is God? You have a loving Father who has a purpose and destiny over your life. That's true, whether you feel it, whether you think it, whether you believe it, it's true. I heard a preacher once say, a diamond is a diamond long before you discover it. It may be covered in thousands of feet of coal and rock, but it's still a diamond before you discover it. Truth doesn't become truth by popular vote. It was truth long before you saw it and recognized it. Amen? But the freedom, the awakening, the breakthrough comes when truth is realized. Right? Think of your life right now. From when you were saved, when you were baptized, impactful moments. I shared my 313 hotel story. You have your own stories. I know that there's hundreds, maybe thousands and thousands of stories represented in this room. But think of that. Did somehow the truth of Jesus come home to you? Was that an element? Let me suggest that the truth is always an element. That anytime we experience freedom, breakthrough, experience his presence, it's because his truth is being revealed. See, I love this Bible not for ideas or information, but the Spirit of truth can reveal truth to me while I read it. Then I'm transformed. See, the truth, God doesn't need the truth. He is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth's going to set you free. The truth is for you. Jesus came full of grace and truth. Why? Because he wanted to convince the Father. This is really true, Father. No, they both knew it was all true. He came and released grace and truth because you were darkened in your understanding. You were blind. You were deaf. You were lost. You were ignorant due to sin. And the truth set you free. Amen? I am so thankful for the truth. So you see, the good news of the gospel didn't just come with good ideas, good morals, like a motivating TED talk. Jesus' truth is so much more than a motivating TED talk. Now, I'm nothing against TED talks. I've watched many, and I think they're pretty good. But we're talking something so much deeper, so much higher. His truth is powerful, life-altering, transforming, and most liberating. I'm going to say it again. His truth is powerful. It's life-altering. It's transforming. It's liberating. You will know the truth. And what's the truth going to do? It's going to set you free.
from the old man. It's going to set you free from the demonic realm. It's going to set you free from your insecurities, pet peeves, trigger points. We all have them. Truth, behavior management doesn't change us. Truth does. Now, does the truth need to be acted upon? Is there obedience? Faith without works is dead. Yes. But without first the truth, it's just an act. And times in my life, and maybe many here, you're sometimes acting, but the truth hasn't hit your heart. You're going through the motions, prayer, worship, loving your neighbor, but the truth hasn't set you free, okay? Let's listen to verse 22 here, chapter 4, verse 22. Here's, and this is repeated in Colossians 3, Romans 12, Romans 13. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. What kind of lusts? And it's not talking about pornography here. It's talking about all kinds of lusts of the flesh. A lust, you know, you have a lust for anger. That's why we are angry. It's because we desire it, right? Notice, is it truthful lusts? Deceitful lusts. The old man is ruled by deceitful lusts, lies. The new man is ruled by the truth as God says it and sees it. Amen? Let's go to verse 23. Okay. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Next verse. Why do we want to be renewed in the spirit of our mind? And so that we can put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So, what's the context of all this? I felt like I went to the Lord and I said, how do I live out what I saw last weekend? And this passage he shared, and the heart of it is, Matthew, the difference between you and Dan is there's areas where you have not allowed my truth to renew you in the spirit of your mind. Therefore, you can't put off the old man. You can't put it off. Yeah? Okay. But my question to the Lord, and I've actually gone to him many times over the years, but I went afresh this week. I don't want to assume. This is a good practice, by the way. One of the ways churches get off, individuals get off, is they get set in a doctrine. Now, I want to be firm in what I believe. Who here wants to be firm in what they believe, okay? I'm not saying question what you believe, but don't limit. Who here is not progressing in knowledge in the Lord? We're all growing, it says in 2 Peter 3:18, and grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord. No one's arrived, right? So even though I've studied this verse, I've looked at the Greek, I've meditated on it, I felt like the Lord's talked to me, I came afresh, I said, Lord, what does it mean to be renewed in the spirit of my mind? This was the treasure, as was spoken through Drew, that I was seeking, because I knew it would make all the difference to me feeling overcome by what I saw last weekend and defeated, or I could be empowered to live it out. And I believe every one of you, if you're open right now, you can leave empowered today. I can manifest love. I can know you, Jesus, in all my ways. I don't need to give to tolerate the old man anymore. Okay, so be renewed in the spirit of mind. Let's go to Romans 8, 15 through 16. Jonah shared this a couple weeks ago. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Say spirit of adoption. Did you know all of you that are born again here today have been adopted by God? Come on, let's cheer to that. Let's give a celebration of that. You've been adopted. That means you are now a son or daughter, this is a big word, of God. Dogs produce dogs, cats produce cats. What does God produce? Sinners, saved by grace, sons and daughters of God. Does that hit? You're a son or a daughter of God.
2 Peter 1:4 says you participate in the divine nature. You're like your daddy. And you didn't make that happen. You heard the truth and responded in your heart. He did all the work. He signed the adoption papers. He went through the whole process. Amen. Woo. I'm going to preach myself happy. I'm already happy. Okay, now let's read verse 16. This is the key. Remember, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Keep this. The Holy Spirit's going to help you connect all this, and it'll change your life. The Spirit, capital S, himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your born-again spirit that you are a son or daughter. There's a communication happening on a subterranean level. We're tripart beings, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 through 24. Paul's giving one of my favorite, probably my favorite benediction in the Bible. I love it. May the God of peace sanctify you through and through so that your whole spirit, soul, and body might be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're a tripart being. When you were born again, guess where that born again happened at? Spirit level. You have a born again spirit. That means at the core of you, you're born again. Where does the Holy Spirit primarily minister to? Your spirit. Your spirit. Okay. Let's go to, so the deepest part, you know what the deepest part of you cries out according to this passage? Abba, Father. Your spirit is just like this. This baby is already in, I'm using you a lot today, but it's perfect. It's just a perfect example. The baby, the umbilical cord, this baby is crying for, it can hear the voice of Ryan, right? They've done studies. The babies respond to the voice. Hearing the voice of the father, longing for mother, crying out, Daddy, I have a parent, right? Your born-again spirit, whether you feel it, whether you know it, has a cry, Father God, you're my papa, Father God, I'm your son. Isn't that good? Okay, we're putting scriptures here together. I believe this is how the Lord showed me this. 1 Corinthians 2:16. It'd be good if I read the whole chapter. I won't. I'll just read the conclusion. Let's do not 12:16, 2:16, but I'll just tell you what it is. We have the what of Christ. Same mind of Christ. Does it say we're getting the mind of Christ? Does it say strain and strive for decades, go to 16 Bible colleges, study the Greek, and you'll get the mind of Christ? Does it say that? I have good news. Your spirit already has the mind of Christ and knows everything it will ever need to know. Your soul and your body has just not caught up to it yet. Where does the renewal happen? In the spirit of your mind, because your spirit already knows what's true about you. Woo! Here's the bad news. You want to hear bad news? I always like to set up the good news with bad news. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Don't worry, I have beautiful feet and I'm bringing good news. The bad news is the key to the Christian life, or a central key, if not the key, is that you have to have a renewed mind to walk it out. That's kind of bad news, because that's a high demand. Here's more bad news. You can't renew your mind. Does it say go renew your mind? Try really hard. What does it say? Be. Say be. Be is a word that there is an activity, but it's more of an activity of receptivity, of receiving, right? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The bad news is you can't renew your mind in the way the Bible describes. You might be in Eastern meditation and all that, but that isn't biblical renewal of mind. That's the bad news. The good news is, here's the good news, the Holy Spirit can do that miracle. The Holy Spirit can do that transformation. As you avail yourself, God wants to transform us by be renewed by the spirit of your mind, because in your spirit, it cries, Abba, Father. In your spirit, is Christ. And Christ knows everything about you already that you don't believe yet. He knows everything about your neighbor that you're trying to love that they don't know about them yet. I believe this is where words of knowledge come from. What's a word of knowledge? It's when you know something about someone, there's no human way you can know it. Does that happen by your soul, by your effort? It comes from your spirit, which can know things that's humanly possible not to know. Guys, here's the good news. I love sitting under the teaching of, you know, I listen to sermons. I listen to Bill Johnson. I've listened to a lot of Dan Mueller lately, and that's good because I want to be renewed in the truth of the gospel. But something the Holy Spirit always reminds me, there's nothing that Dan can't say that I could not reveal to you personally. Now, what are you saying, Matthew? Are you disregarding preachers and teachers and apostles? No, there's a need for them to build you up. That's in the previous passage, chapter 4. Earlier in this passage that I'm reading. But what's the purpose of all of those fivefold? To speak the truth in love. Why are apostles here? Ultimately, to speak the truth in love. Why is a prophet here? They better be speaking the truth in love. But it's a truth your spirit already knows. Do you find that good news? I find that good news. So, Romans 12:2, I believe, describes the great miracle of the Christian life. Do not be conformed to this world, remember, not like the Gentiles, but be transformed by the renewing. How does the transformation happen? The renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You start to know what God wants. You start to know how God feels about someone. You're able to discern it and go, oh, this is what he's doing right now. Oh, can I participate with you? Remember, Jesus didn't do anything that he first saw the Father doing. How was he able to do that? He had a transformed mind. He had the mind of Christ, right? Okay. So I shared that night in the hotel, a very transforming night, and many things changed in my life. What am I getting at here? What happened to me that night? I'm going to put it succinctly here, and I think we have a slide for this. If you forget everything, remember this, because how many of you are longing to live differently in different areas of life? And maybe particularly in light of the teaching we heard last weekend. I'm there. And I felt like the Lord made it really simple. And this is what I believe he said. A new life begins with a new outlook. A new life begins with a new outlook. To live the new life and manifest love, we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. A new mind begins with a new life begins with a new outlook, right? It doesn't start with great resolutions, determination. I've tried that, and I end up, and even if I do it, it's just an act. God's all about inside-out transformation, okay? God, I need a new outlook. John 17:17, guys, really important verse here. How many want to live a set-apart life under Jesus? You love him so much, and you want to live a holy life, right? Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus sets us apart from the old life by truth. It's right there. How are you going to give up that old man? By the truth. You need the truth, right? Okay, I want to just share a couple quick areas after that night in the hotel, things that shifted for Tess and I. And maybe this will encourage some of you, but I'll take the area of provision. So a little over a year after this encounter in the hotel, I ended up getting fired from my job at Multnomah. That's a whole nother story. Some of you have heard that. Maybe I'll share that another time. And as the sole breadwinner, Tessa wasn't... she was taking care of our kids. I always wanted her to be a stay-at-home mom. How many breadwinners here? You're the main provider for the family, right? That doesn't have to be the man. It could be woman as well. And would that be pretty devastating to find out you're fired all of a sudden and you had no backup plan? Let's just say I was humbled. But because of the truth that I was a son and I was loved, that I was beginning to receive and have intimacy with the Father,
We weren't stressed. We had no plan B. We're living in Portland in a small apartment in a scary part of town, but Tessa will say that was one of the best years of our life. We needed toilet paper at one time, and we had a guest come over, and afterwards we looked in the bathroom, and there were bills stuffed. He had left bills stuffed, and he didn't know it, but we needed that money to buy toilet paper. That year, we had supernatural checks come in. We had, by the end of the year, actually New Year's of that next year, someone anonymously gave us $5,000. What am I saying? I now had a renewed mind that I don't need to stress or worry even if I lose my job today. Why? Because I'm ultimately not the provider. My Father God is. You're not the provider. Now, I know in a sense, please fulfill your role to provide. But there's a higher truth that even as I provide for my family as a pastor and make a living for my family, I'm ultimately not their provider. Father God is. Do you see how that sets you free? Man, I should have been stressed when I lost my job, but something was different. I had a new outlook. I said, God, he's going to provide. 5-6 times checks, cash came in. God ended up using it to close all doors in Portland, relocated us. We lived with her parents for a few months. Then I got a job. One thing led to another, and we made a life here in Idaho. If I didn't get fired, I never probably would have ended up here because he closed all those doors, okay? He worked through that. Approval. I'm just going to cover a couple things just to try to demonstrate what I'm trying to preach here. You know, before our encounter with Father God and the truth of the gospel, Tess and I found our approval often in what others thought about us in our own way. I don't know if any of you have been there. That can be a slavery, right? What do others think about me? What does my pastor think about me? What does my boss think about me? What do my parents think about me? Maybe we're unsure of that. I remember after this truth had come home, Matthew, you're loved. You're my, you know, loved son. You receive your approval from me. We were part of a church, and various folks in the church, it was a church that didn't believe in the baptism of the Spirit. They didn't believe. They didn't talk about our identity in Christ. We were basically a church of sinners really trying to make it happen. We got to make this happen. We got to be loyal. We got to be loyal. We got to be faithful. Church was more of a have to than a get to. Have you guys ever felt the difference between have to and get to? God had now brought me into a get to, and I knew I didn't need to strive to please him, but for those that were still striving, they would get angry at me at times. And I remember the lady who invited me to that church, we ended up leaving that church. She sat me down one day and she's like, Matthew, I miss the real you. Where did you go? Seriously. I miss the real you. I didn't laugh in front of her, but afterwards as I processed it with Tess and my buddy Josh, who, you know, Tess by this point, Spirit-filled, my buddy, I just laughed. And I wasn't, please hear me out, I didn't laugh at her. But I was laughing that I could be now so full of joy, so full of love, and she was concerned that I was no longer myself. That striving self, that somber, serious self, that frowned a lot and got angry a lot and stressed a lot, she didn't know what to do with it because that was her norm and my norm had changed. But guess what? She was the reason I went to that. I did look up to her, and still to this day, I've thought about her recently. She's a beautiful woman. I pray that she comes into the fullness of God as I have, because I have no stones to throw. But when she disapproved of me because truth had come home that I'm approved by my Father, I was able to laugh and it didn't affect me at all. We all have a need for approval. Every one of you needs to be approved and validated. It's, I think, one of our core needs. But when you let Father speak that truth of validation, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased, and it hits your spirit, man, and your mind renews to it, you can stand before anyone and they can disapprove of you and you can go, okay, I'm still loved. I'm accepted. I have an identity. I have a purpose. That is liberating. So liberating. Okay, one more area. One more area here that changed drastically is prayer. I'll just use prayer, right? It's a very common thing. Many of you have probably been praying since you were little. You were taught the Lord's Prayer. Prayer, before truth came home and the love of the Father came home, the gospel came home, my mind was renewed to truth. Prayer was, I got all my anxieties, I'm going to bring them to him. Here's my list, God. See you later. Anyone been there before? Now, I still come with a list sometimes because I'm, Lord, I got to get this off. But I don't leave it at that. What does prayer look like now that God's renewed me to truth? I got a Father who loves me. And as much as I like talking with him, he really likes talking to me. Can I just sit here, Father, and you just share what you think about me? Yeah, I'm really proud of you. Today you're going to be using your gift and you're going to be preaching and I've made you for this. Just enjoy yourself. Have fun in my presence. This is the stuff he starts to speak with you. And this becomes your prayer life instead of all these problems I got to bring to him, dump on him, not really talk with him, and then move on with my life while I'm still fixated on those problems. But when the truth sets you free, that you're a loved son, by the Spirit I call Abba Father, it's like I'm just talking with my dad. Prayer becomes a conversation, not a something you strain and strive to do. Amen? Okay, so what's our challenge here? What's our challenge going into this, the rest of this day, this next week, right? Where does this come home to us? I'm hoping the Spirit can help me explain this, but how many of you have an area you don't speak, your attitude doesn't respond like Jesus, maybe on a regular basis? Let's be honest here. I do. I have areas. I mean, maybe it's even when you're driving. Shoot, Dan told that story of that car accident. He didn't even think of his truck. He's thinking of her. Who was convicted by that? I'm like, sometimes I'm nice in the car, sometimes I'm not. Jesus, help me, right? Okay? So whether it's your driving, your anger issues, we all have stuff here, okay? Now, I'm not giving license to that stuff because God wants that gone. But the next time stuff comes up, we don't need to deny it or freak out. I've done that where I'm like, I can't believe I did that. And there's this pride. It's like, I'm going to go nowhere if I do that. You got to confess it, admit it, and come clean. But what do you need? A renewed mind. And God is waiting. That's why it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know what I believe? At any moment with any issue in your life, Holy Spirit's like, I just want to renew your mind. I want to give you the mind of Christ. You actually already have it. I just want your spirit, man, for you to have that awakening, that new outlook. Because new life comes from a new outlook. New life comes from a new outlook. You want the new life Jesus have. You want to manifest love. I want to be the greatest witness for Jesus. Then you need a new outlook. And that's a supernatural thing. So the next time you have an issue, and maybe right now you're thinking of your worry, whatever sin it is, I encourage you to open your Bible, go before your Father who loves you, your son or daughter, and say, here's the issue. I confess. When I'm in these situations, I don't react as Jesus does. What do you say, Father? What do you say? What's your truth I need to hear? Because I'm obviously living a lie. I have darkened understanding. I'm acting blind. And I'll tell you, without fail, if you come in humility, the Holy Spirit will begin to share with you liberating truth. And if you give yourself to that truth, a transformation happens. A metamorphosis. And you're no longer a caterpillar in that area, just on the ground, crawling slow. You begin to fly and your responses start to change. Why? Because you figured it out? No. Because you did the right thing? Well, yeah, you did the right thing, but it's because Jesus in you gave you his mind and you start seeing others, seeing that same situation with different lenses. And I just want to encourage you, like, don't be discouraged after last weekend. Be encouraged. God has so much more for us in Christ. He wants us living Jesus wherever we go. But if you're like me, you have areas and times and relationships in your family with others where you don't always respond like Jesus. Let that be an opportunity for a transformation God encounter. Let your sins, your insecurities, not bear you. That's what the enemy wants to do. Oh, you have that insecurity? You're a pastor and you said something like that? That's what the enemy wants to do. But if we come in humility and say, God, I confess I said what I shouldn't say, and I often say things like that, and that almost sounds controlling, Lord. Is that control? Yes, it is. What do you say, Father? You can fully let go of them right now. You never need to say another controlling word again. I don't know, I'm just role-playing right here. And that truth, when it hits your spirit and your soul, I have a whole new outlook. And the truth begins to set us free. Can I give you one practical? What I began to do is just sit with the Lord. My dad told me, journal, journal, journal. I didn't listen to him. It took me like 5 years. He said, it's changed my life. I finally started journaling. And for the first couple of years, it was my thoughts about God. God, you're awesome. You're amazing. And then all of a sudden, he switched it. I read this little devotional called The Jesus Calling. Anyone heard of The Jesus Calling? And The Jesus Calling isn't our thoughts about God. It's God speaking directly to you. So I would just get out a journal and I just say, maybe on a specific topic or just today, what do you think, Father? And I began to just write out and not question anything I heard, just write it out as if God was talking to me. I started this about 13 years ago. And I'll tell you, you know what he begins to speak? Truth, 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 truth. I love you. I know exactly where you're at. You know that issue over there? You're gonna make it through. You were made for this. My spirit's in you. Christ is gonna help you all the way. And he begins to speak truth out. Let me tell you, God doesn't have a little bit of truth. He doesn't have morsels of truth. He's got to continue. Who is the Holy Spirit called? The Spirit of. Once you let him speak truth over you, he can't keep his mouth shut. He can't keep his mouth shut. And Jesus, like a good groom, wants to wash you in the water of the word. I don't believe that's just Bible verses. That's the word of truth. Like I'm to wash my wife in the water of the word, right? But what does Paul say there? I'm ultimately talking about the mystery of Christ in the church. Jesus wants to wash each one of you in the water of truth every day throughout your whole day. And you can live in regular moments of metamorphosis where you have breakthrough and revelation and go, I used to see it that way, but now I see it like you, Jesus. I used to write that person off and wanted to reject them, but you showed me they have a spirit of rejection, so I'm going to accept them, Lord. That's a real one for me. You don't just have grandiose moments of metamorphosis. Yes, I had a really radical encounter in that hotel room, but I don't want to live off that hotel room. I want to know Jesus today. And I know there's areas that still need to become like a butterfly. I'm not flying in those areas. What am I gonna do? Go to Father, renew me in the spirit of my mind. Renew me to truth. I don't see like you see, Jesus, and I can't fix my eyes. You can't change your eyes. But if you give yourself to the Holy Spirit, he will give you a new outlook. And when there's a new God outlook, there's always new fruit. We spoke about the fruit of the Spirit. When you have new eyes, there'll be new fruit. When you have new eyes, there'll be new life. And God can do that for you guys today. So I just encourage you, say, Spirit of Truth, speak to me. Let's just do this final exercise. I'm feeling this right now. Everyone close their eyes. I'll close with this. Yes, Jesus, thank you. So just keep your eyes closed. Just begin to enjoy his presence if you weren't already. And I want you I want you to bring to him that area where you know you don't act like Jesus acts. You still look a lot like the old man in that area. And again, there's no levels here. There's no gauges. This is between you and him. If it's old man sin stuff, it matters to you and it matters to God. So I want you to just bring that before him right now. That insecurity, that defensiveness, whatever it is. And just in your spirit, say, God, I confess I do this often. I confess. He already knows it, but your heart needs to confess it. So right now, just in your heart, just confess I don't look like Jesus in this area. I confess, Jesus. I confess, Father. Now, and by the way, confession can be that quick. It doesn't have to be long and drawn out. Keep your eyes closed. Now say, Jesus, I thank you that all truth is in you and that you can renew me in the spirit of my mind by truth. What truth do you speak in that area about me? And now listen and let him speak truth into that insecurity, sin. Yeah. And I just say, Lord, I believe the Lord is touching people right now. Let him touch you. This isn't just a little exercise. This is the altar call right now. This is your time with Jesus. Yep. Let him in. Let him in. He's already has the answer. He already has the truth. And you desperately need to hear the truth because you've heard a lot of lies for a long time in that area. And you've believed a lot of horrible things about yourself or someone else. Yeah. I just thank you, Jesus, that you're touching hearts right now with your truth. That you're replacing lies with truth right now, Jesus. You're the great exchanger from lies to truth. Yeah, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I thank you for washing your bride in the word of truth right now, Jesus, that you're washing your bride in the word of truth. That Holy Spirit, you are the spirit of truth. That you're sanctifying them by the truth right now. Your word is truth. Now you can open your eyes if you want. Raise your hand and if you believe God spoke something to you. It's okay if it's no. He maybe just takes a little time. Amen. Isn't that awesome? We can hear from God on any issue. I have one more thing. If you struggle with something big time, maybe it was a horrific thing you've been through, a divorce, something that happened to you as a child, and you have trauma and deep hurts, and you desperately need truth in that area, but it's just too painful. We have a ministry called Breakthrough Ministries, and every Tuesday and Thursday they have appointments, so you can go on our app and you can search for ministries. You have to fill out an application, and someone will reach out to you within a couple weeks. Sometimes we do get backed up pretty far, but so many people, myself included, have received liberating truth and have had encounters with Jesus in that breakthrough room. And I just want to encourage you, Matthew, it's like, you don't know, I have areas that are so painful, I don't even know how to allow Jesus into it. I've been there. We have a ministry called Breakthrough. I just want to encourage you to consider that if Holy Spirit's nudging you. You guys all want to stand? I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up right now. We have a prayer team here who's trained and blessed by pastoral leadership to pray. So if you're like, man, this was good, but I just feel like the Holy Spirit stirred up some stuff and I need someone to pray for me. The prayer team is prayed up. They were here 45 minutes before the service praying for each one of you. Okay, and I think we have one more couple coming up. Awesome. Okay, I'm just going to close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love today. We thank you that you don't just leave us in our shackles. You don't just leave us in the old man, but you come, Jesus, with your truth that sets us free. I thank you, Jesus, you're a faithful groom who washes us, who's just dying, literally dying. You died to speak truth over our hearts. And that Holy Spirit, you're the helper, you're the paraclete, the advocate who is also the spirit of truth. So, Father, we open our hearts to every area that we don't look like Jesus.
every area that we still act like the old man, speak like the old man, smell like the old man, we say, Jesus, renew us in the spirit of our mind this week. Renew us, God. Anytime I pray for each one, if they have a reminder of sin, they would confess it quickly, and Jesus, you would replace it with your truth. You are the great liberator. You are the God of breakthrough. You are the God of freedom. We love you. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Have a wonderful day, wonderful week. Go in peace.